You're listening to the Fox and the Phoenix podcast, understanding the feminine cross-dressing experience.
I'm Savannah Hawk, dual gender male to female cross-dresser, LGBTQ plus advocate, TEDx speaker, and author of the Living with Cross-Dressing book series.
And I'm Julie Rubenstein, proud ally and co-founder of foxandhanger.com, a feminine styling and life coaching service for cross-dressers and transgender women.
Hi, Savannah.
Hi, Julie. How are you today?
I'm good. I'm good. The listeners don't know this, but we're actually recording on a Monday. It's Monday, right? No, sorry. It's Tuesday.
It is Tuesday. It's on podcast eve.
It is. Why did I say Monday? Monday felt like a Monday. Like
that's
it
right.
Really felt like a Monday, but today just felt like, I guess, the day after Monday. So I don't know why I said
Monday,
that.
Basically.
But
it's not good when it's two feelings of Mondays.
Yeah, and it doesn't feel like Monday. It definitely feels like podcast eve. So that's good, but we're recording at a different time. And I think, you know, that's good to do every once in a while, just change things up, huh?
You know what? Yes. Number one, because this is like your evening. This is like Julie Rubenstein after dark.
I mean, the sun isn't down. I still have some work to do.
Okay.
I have to eat dinner. You're later than I am, right?
Yes, I'm aware. But also, I'm usually getting you up in the morning on Sundays. So for you, this is like Fox and Phoenix after dark. So I'll take it. I know you're still got the sun shining and is slowly drifting into the west, but it's nighttime
for
me.
It's nighttime for you and it's 4:30 for me.
Yes. But it doesn't matter because the episode's going to come out at 2 a.m. on a Wednesday.
Oh, did y'all hear that? 2 a.m. Set your clocks.
Eastern time, I think. I don't know how that works. But
anyways.
I know you've been crazy busy. It's probably why you feel like today was a second Monday, because you've been crazy busy with Fox and Hanger, which is awesome.
I really have been crazy busy, and the energy is popping. The pages are locked in, and yeah, I'm like a fine-tuned machine, baby.
Yeah. That's what I love to hear.
Yes.
So this week, I know you've been super busy, and I'm so sorry to even bring this up. But it's your week for a topic. Do you have one?
It is my week for a topic. And hopefully you ladies are not counting my week, her week, my week, her week. Because, you know, sometimes it won't be my week, okay? But it so happens to be my turn for a topic. And I would like to discuss the kind of phenomenon, actually not the phenomenon, but the idea or concept that has run past my view since I've been starting to do this work. And that is the idea that when transitioning, whether it be through clothing and makeup or hormonally or whatever your relationship is from moving between the masculine to the feminine, the idea that one not only feels younger when they are as their feminine self, but they appear younger. To me, at least, and to them, when they are able to reflect with me both sides of themselves or their truth, however it may be. But I just want to discuss it with you and unpack that, because it really is, there's so many parts to it. And I know when I was bringing up this topic as a potential, we went back and forth with a list of different ways that this can look. So sit back, you know, straighten out your tits, and we're going to have quite the episode, aren't we, Savannah?
Well, I can only hope so. And if I understand this, let me read this back to you. What you're talking about is a metaphorical, if not physical, fountain of youth when it comes to cross-dressers. Is that what you're telling me?
I'm saying that in a very roundabout ADHD way, but yes, that's what I'm saying. So all the ladies that are listening, let's hope that they fully understand the concept of today's topic and are here to listen and learn, y'all.
Well, that's what we're here for. We're going to bring it. And hopefully one of these ideas will be like, oh, yeah. And I'm going to start off with the obvious. As a middle-aged, as a man in his 50s, semi-balding, a little freckly in the face, I can tell you off the bat, off the cuff, off the heel, that if I put in some foundation and I even out that skin tone and I put on a gorgeous shoulder-length wig, in and of itself, that with the makeup, I feel, and Julie, you can correct me, but I feel like I can pull off like an early, late 30s, early 40s just by that.
Yeah, I'd say definitely 10 years younger.
Okay. So early 40s.
Yeah, but I think that's another piece to it is that like when gauging how you feel, you may feel like a late 30s, you may feel like a 20s, you know? So I think that there's for you personally, and then there's just the idea that the biology and stuff like that, but also how we gauge ourselves in our feminine form in terms of how old we look.
Yeah, I feel more energized sometimes. Hey, there's been days where I've dragged my ass out of bed and say, I don't want to be a Savannah today. But when I do, and I go through the ritual of getting ready, I feel so much better. Now, would I have felt better just sitting on the couch as good old Chuck and come to the same result? Maybe not. I think there is something to be said about this passion project that we do for ourselves of the ritual of getting ready and picking out clothes and not just like picking out whatever is the first thing that's on your hanger, but being intentional about what we're wearing and intentional about how we want to look and intentional on how we're coordinating. I think like all these little elements lead to this energized state of being. Plus, it's this identity that we love to exude. So yeah, I definitely think psychologically, it also has an effect of making you feel more alive. And if that doesn't make you feel a little bit lighter in your heels, I don't know what does.
And also there's just the idea of if we were all meaning the listeners, all meeting yourself, if we were to go back in time to the start of when you realized that you wanted to dress feminine, whether it be you started at 8 years old, you started at 5 years old, and then you restarted at 50. Whatever it is, I think that there's something that happens. We call it the pink cloud, where you go back in time. It brings up this desire, and not everyone has gone through this specific thing that I'm going to describe, but basically there's this desire to play catch up when it comes to the feminine expression. So often we meaning crossdressers who apply to what I'm saying, be drawn to certain things like a pink frilly skirt or dress, something that is younger, almost like childlike. So I'm talking about a lot of the kind of sissy stuff, the younger looking little girl kind of stuff. But then as you move up, there could be chronologically, you could be in your 60 plus, and yet you feel like you need to dress like someone who is, quote, 21 or 22. 23 with the micro mini skirts or whatever it is. Now, I know that age is just a number. I fully accept the idea that how we express ourselves is our own. But I think that a lot of times at Fox and Hanger, I find people that are late bloomers in life. They have this kind of style that is very, they'd call immature, and they want to dress age appropriate. And for me, it's this balance of finding them things that are age appropriate, but what does that mean, right? Yeah. Because a lot of people that are biological women within their certain age bracket, maybe they don't want to wear a dress ever again. Maybe they don't want to put on heels ever again. So we're not comparing the biological female experience with the cross-dressing experience. For me, it's still this elevated, polished version that allows them to have that essence of that girldom that got robbed from them. And how can they apply it to something that is appropriate for the occasion or the environment or at home alone. But like, I definitely think that this kind of youthful idea and this idea to dress, quote, younger is part of a feeling. And it's also part of a very important milestone when it comes to figuring out where you are in your cross-dressing and who you are. If you start hormones, you will go through a second puberty. If you're not on hormones and you're just starting on this journey, that is likely too. That happens a lot. I see it as normal, natural, and not necessarily something to be ashamed of. It's more something to just for our listeners to be aware of.
And adding on to the idea, I was thinking about the truncation of time. And like you said, the real female, the cis female experience, where it's like, I'm never wearing heels again. I can't wait to get home and take this bra off. I'm not going to wear a dress anymore. I just want to be comfortable in my yoga pants and my athleisure wear. If you think about Einstein's theory of relativity, and it really boils down to like, why is it when we're kids, we think that every day is an eternity? And then as we get older and older and older, it's like time seems to feel shorter. Like every day feels shorter than a day before because we've accumulated so much time in our own lives. That 50 years on this planet where we're living today looks way different than 10 years on this planet for living today from a child's perspective and an adult's perspective. So try to apply that to your male self, me and people like me, and the whether you're a late bloomer or you did through adolescence with little pockets of time to be feminine. Imagine, Julie, your adolescence existed over between ages 12, 13 to 18. That was every day was a day of you being feminine, whether you took advantage or not. Whereas my adolescence was, hey, mom and dad are gone. Let me sneak something out of the drawer and look at myself in the mirror for 5 minutes per week. So imagine how that time has been compressed and it feels like nothing. So when you're going through these evolutions of wanting to dress young and have that experience and wear your UGG boots and have your mini skirts and have that Catholic schoolgirl mentality of these little pleated dresses. And then you like realize that you're doing that way later in actual time. Like I'm 40 trying to do that because I missed it. I didn't get that time. And I spoke to Judy about this last week. She asked me about why do I wear heels? Why do I continue to wear heels? And as I mature, the height of my heel has gotten shorter and shorter and shorter. It may never go to zero or flats, but I used to wear 5-inch platforms in my mid-20s because I wanted this uber femme experience. And now with my age and limitations and why do my legs hurt so bad in these heels after walking a few blocks, you start realizing that there is age appropriateness, whatever that means to us. And just like the reality of, I think I'd be happier being more comfortable, being more not as overt with my femininity, not so intense with my femininity. So yeah, I think that we try to dress young because we missed out for years of actual time.
Yes, and I agree with everything you said. I also think that it is more important, in my professional opinion, to dress in clothes that strategically feminizes your shape in a way that shapewear, for example, you're not so reliant on it for a feminine experience, whether you're walking down the street or not, knowing what cuts, learning your body type. All of that is information that can help determine what this age-appropriate thing really means. I do know that men and women, it's easier for men to lose weight, biological men to lose weight than women. I also know that the weight gain could be in different areas. So that is, how can we be strategic and dress for our body type? And that's not easy at all. I mean, it's why there's a need for the kind of work that I do. But to me, really dressing in something that fits your feminine expression is so much more euphoric than just trying to grab a crop top from Forever 21 and having just like it not fit, but you have that experience of buying it and putting it on. It doesn't fit, like I said, but I think with age and with the age of your cross-dressing journey, right? The things that we've talked about can start as a fetish and then move into a normal way of being the more and more we do it. That's also a revolution in itself, an evolution, if you will, in terms of going from a young space, a very youthful way to approach it, where you don't have all the information. It's many trans folks call it the awkward stage where you're at the beginning. And let's say you're not a weak person, you're really wanting to grow out your natural hair. There's an awkward kind of phase to when it's not that boy look and it's not quite shaped as the girl look. So It's definitely that also adds to this younger seeming thing that we're talking about when it comes to your feminine self.
Yeah. So just quick question. So you're telling me if I buy something from Forever 21, it will not make me Forever 21? Yeah.
No, it will not.
Oh man, all this time.
And you may look forever 80 wearing them. I'm just saying that's another thing.
No, but you're talking about, again, the appropriateness is not really about the era that you're living in. It's not about the, I'm 40, I need to dress like a 40-year-old. Like you said, it's about the appropriateness of what's most fetching for you and the body type and maybe makes you feel more blending in a crowd if you're like, wow, those thigh-high boots really don't work here at church. There's venue appropriateness, there's age appropriateness, there's style of your body appropriateness. And so I totally see where we all want to go to this youthful side because we missed out. But yeah, eventually, I think we all come to it, whatever the appropriateness looks like. I think we all come to it at a certain point and just find that level set. I want to say, because when you brought this topic up to me, I was thinking very much the physical. And I was like, well, you know, men as they age, the T goes down, but the estrogen kind of replaces it a little bit. So we get like a youthful appearance. But like we start losing hair, not gaining it. And I mentioned this, I think, on air a few weeks ago, that sometimes when men dress, and I haven't proven it for myself, that their heart rate goes down and their stress levels go down. And we know there's a de-stressing for dressing. We know that there's all these things of escapism that like you use it as a way, as a mechanism to get rid of all those things that kind of age you. Like stress ages you and being so like anxious ages you, like physically and mentally. So the idea when you see the fountain of youth, I'm thinking, of course, because cross-dressing, not only are we trying to be younger or skew younger, it actually kind of psychological and a physical state helps to keep you young. That's what I thought was interesting. And we were coming from different ways, I think, when you brought it up. Yeah, my heart rate's at 60 resting beats versus 110 resting beats.
Right.
I'm probably going to live a couple days longer, I'm thinking.
Yeah. Yeah, there's definitely the kind of biology that comes with all that and the differences and the fact that like, you know, the pulse rates, so the very scientific biological approach to this. But I don't know, there's something to be said about someone putting on a dress and twirling and just using the expression that comes to my mind is like, feel like a kid again.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Yeah, just twirling and feeling themselves in their femininity, not for anyone else, but for themselves. That kind of wonderment and that kind of feminine princess energy is all very youthful. It's all very, it's in the pocket of when you can get past the shame, past the it's good or it's bad, and just live in this beautiful world of it just is and I'm free. That right there is that childlike spirit that just transcends any of the darkness to it, I'd say. Any of the weighted stuff that comes with dressing and being your feminine self. Once you're able to fully feel like you're in that pocket, whether it be speaking kind of literal pocket or fit, a dress that you just feel like a kid again, whatever it is that is making you feel lighter and younger and more youthful, that's chemical, that's energy. Mm-hmm. And that kind of seeps from your pores, if you will, metaphorically, but you know what I mean? And yeah. So you will appear to be more glowing, and you will, like you and I talked about when we were going back and forth with talk and shop about workshop in the bitch, I guess. You know, this episode, we just talked about when people are truly in the pocket of their passion, whether they're male or female, they tend to feel lighter and maybe even feel a little bit beautiful. But when you're dipping into the something like the feminine, and you have all the sensory things that are happening, you are in another space. You are in a very youthful space. Where I know a lot of, like, I've been a biological female since the day I was born, or I'm a biological male and this is me living my male life, that don't really take the time unless they're working on some mindfulness stuff or meditation or therapy to really approach a garment, approach items that they apply to their body in such a sensory way. They just don't think, they just go through life. So that in itself, I know I'm just going off in a beautiful linguistics smorgasbord, but I think that it's important to note that feeling is youthful.
And you're not going off rail, because I got it right here from, as you know, from Harvard Health Publishing.
Really?
That talks about the four happy brain chemicals, which is what you're mentioning. Dopamine, serotonin, endorphins, oxytocin. Those are all things, and this one says here, you could boost levels of these hormones with something simple, some simple lifestyle changes like diet, exercise, meditation, possibly improve your mood in the process. Now, what you're saying is mindfulness is what you brought up. And when we do this transformation, we go from possibly this ho-hum, humdrum, male-centric, I have to live this every day of my life, I go to work, come home, and do the grind. And all of a sudden, you're doing this mindful thing to be your this most beautiful princess of a self that is producing these happy chemicals in your brain. And it's going to do a body good. This is not just milk, y'all. And it's going to have a positive effect on your body. It could only give you longevity. It can only do good things for you in this way.
I agree. And just that idea of that zest for life.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's just, it's wonderful. And I think that it makes all the difference in terms of your spirit's age, if you will. If you are living with a partner, if you are not, but have a supportive group of girlfriends, who are your support systems? Because that's something that is one of the most important and powerful things when it comes to owning your girldom and really celebrating. And that's really surrounding yourself with other women that just want you to succeed and think you're beautiful too. And maybe are doing the same things as you, or maybe they're not, but they're there for it.
Yeah.
That's a very exciting childlike energy that will definitely not make you look like a persnickety older individual. I know that for some, it involves sneaking around. It involves it, meaning your cross-dressing involves being deceptive. It involves agreeing or signing up, telling yourself this story that you can't ever be your complete female self. And so this is the life I chose, and I'm just going to live my male life. All those harsh realities, that can be very aging. That the idea of waiting for a chance to dress, that can feel like you're aging quickly. True. Because life is too short. And so when we speak about this and we talk about being in the pocket of your youth and describe a very whimsical girl-like way to understand your femininity, we also want to honor the fact that A, both things can be true at once. You can have a very stressful male life and your feminine self can feel like a girlfriend you're having an affair with that you just haven't seen. And it's really just not making you feel good about your life. You feel like you're living a lie. And then there's that other part of you that when they are able to be in that space, they just feel elated, right? There's that. There's also the listener that is able to dress whenever they want to. And able to achieve that heightened sense. And how about the ones that are able to dress whenever they want to and haven't hit that heightened sense? And as they're listening to this episode, they're reminded, oh shit, I get to do this. I don't have anything in my way. Or my partner and I chose to get separated and here I am living my truth. What can I do now? It feels so normal to me. What can I do now to bring that passion back alive and to just shed the scales, if you will, in terms of making your feminine self a more youthful version? I don't know. What do you think?
You're talking about normalization, and I have this fear, as you were saying it, I had this fear of if I just normalize it, then it won't be exalted. It won't have this charge to it anymore.
Right.
Because right. I'll be able to do it whenever. So now it's just so normalized that there is no upside to it other than doing it. Now, I fall in the category of Judy knows I could do it when I wanted outside of the work hours. I could say right. I'm going out and I'm doing it and I'm going to dress. And I've spent weeks either having zero want to do it or being fearful of hurting myself for my back pain doing it. But yet I did it this last weekend, wore sensible wedges out. And there was something, it wasn't exalted. It wasn't this intensity to it, but there was this calm that I think is the flip side of that same coin, that it doesn't need to be super intense. It doesn't need to like flood the brain with all the happy chemicals necessarily, but what it can do is just give you a sense of peace and calm and comfort and confidence, quiet confidence. That's also very positive. And it just makes you feel more mindful and true to yourself, which in and of itself is de-stressing. And it is something that will carry you forward. So while I'm worried about it, as you're talking about, I'm also saying the opposite is true as well, which is still positive.
It is still positive. And just whether you put it on full blast or not, you have a love for Savannah.
Yes.
You just do. And so loving your female self, it's not old. It's not an ancient behavior. It's not a decrepit behavior. It is innocence and openness and love and unconditional love, or else you wouldn't do it. And you and I have both talked about what happens when you haven't dressed for a while and that kind of leaning into the fear of what if I never get to dress again? What if I just don't do it? Trust the fact that you love your female self enough that you will, because of that love you have and that passion you have. Even if it feels like you're just getting coffee, you're doing the same thing you always do, or you're dragging your feet because you just don't want to do the thing. It's a part of who you are. It's who you are. So, getting back to the topic at hand about the fact that there's a younger part of yourself that kind of shows up en femme, that may be in physical form, appear to be younger, psychologically younger, being able to move about in a way that like maybe you've convinced your male body that is so tense and tight that you can't move about that way, or heteronormative ideas of masculinity and how it moves through space. The feminine movement is very fluid and there's a lot of movement that comes from your hands and your wrists and your arms, where that was something that a lot of biological men grew up with, that being, even if you were a feminine boy, keep that down, keep your hands in this certain way. So just the mobility alone is very youthful.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I like free. That. It's freeing. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I know we're going to wrap this up in a bow, a beautiful bowl, as you always would say. Before we go,
yes,
I want to share something personal on our Facebook, on our Fox and the Phoenix podcast Facebook page. We were followed by the Gender Rebels, their podcast, and I was freaking beside myself because I've been listening to this podcast even before you and I were podcasting.
Yeah.
And they're iconic to me. I know when we started, I had brought up their name a few times.
You did.
And I was just like, it was like being a horror writer and having Stephen King follow you back.
Yeah.
And that's how I was feeling. That's how I'm feeling about the Gender Rebels.
Yeah.
So Kat and Faith, thank you so much for the follow back. We appreciate it. And you made my day. You made my month. So just want to give them a shout out for just sharing the love back. So.
That's always very exciting when you feel seen by someone that you see so much in yes. terms of your heart and your time and your eardrums, right?
My ear holes.
Yeah. So I hope everyone has a lovely rest of their week, and new episodes come out on all your listening channels every Wednesday. And bye for now.
Until next time. You can find me on Facebook at Savannah Hawk or at Living with Crossdressing, and on Instagram at Savannah Hawk. Remember, that's H-A-U-K. And to learn more, go to my website, livingwithcrossdressing.com.
And you can find me on Instagram and Facebook at Fox and Hanger or at Julie MTF Style, as well as on our website at foxandhanger.com.
Julie, it's your moment.
Fox and the Phoenix podcast uses Anchor, copyright 2024.
Yes, nailed it.
If you enjoy our content and want to make it easier for others to find us, please share with your friends. Tap the subscribe or follow button to the show wherever you're listening. Give it a 5-star rating or leave a review.
And for show ideas or comments, contact us through the podcast on Facebook at Fox and Phoenix Podcast or on Instagram at the Fox and the Phoenix Podcast _.